there's a common thing that happens, and it's universal. It's not based on somebody's theology or somebody's philosophy. But it's universal to all men, and that is that the grand expulsion, the being expelled from the kingdom, for expelled from the Garden of Eden, happens to every one of you at birth. And from the moment of your birth until now, you have felt separate. And you've taken numerous pathways to try to correct that feeling of separation. And you followed the pathway that was most convenient to you. It's the pathway of least resistance to you. I didn't follow the pathway of becoming a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I followed the pathway of something else. Each one of us have followed some pathway in order to prove to ourselves that we're not separate. Separate from what? Well, it doesn't matter how you define separate. It's separate from something that you consider a need. Mm-hmm. Now, if I find out that I'm separate, and I know I'm separate, and then I come along and I get religious, I'm still just religious separate. And I have to, by every and all means, to continue a process or a pathway so that I will not continue to be separate. So I study religiously. I search the scriptures. I pray by numbers. I pray a certain amount of day. I go to a certain number of Bible studies. I do this, I do that. To prove to myself I'm not separate. It doesn't matter whether you're doing that or taking cocaine to prove to yourself that you're not separate. It doesn't matter whether you're being religious or going out and going to bed with everybody in sight to prove that you're not separate. They're all experiences of a separate being trying to find fulfillment. They're all effort, self-effort. They are all iniquity, equal iniquity. Your experiences in Bible school, your experiences in Bible study, your experiences in prayer are exactly the same as your experiences in illicit sex, your experiences in drugs, your experiences in alcoholism. They are all your attempt to solve your feeling of being separate. They are all religious acts because you, by definition, are a temple. So they are all acts within a temple. You know, I hear these great conversion stories that say, praise God, I was an alcoholic, I was a dope addict, I was a prostitute, and then I found Jesus, and now I study 24 hours a day, now I search the scriptures instead of searching for pot. No, you don't, you idiot. You just have substituted religious dope for cocaine or marijuana, whatever else were you taking. As long as you think you have to do something, you're still in the same boat you were before.
But I've been real healthy. I didn't feel like I had to do anything.
Until what? Until you were confronted with something that said it's finished. And it caused the lie to be exposed. Until you were confronted with a thing that said, God doesn't need my efforts.
Oh, when you said that, I just flashed back to how exactly.
I know you were.
The same way. I mean, reading every morning and And I think I was even aware at the time, it was, and I certainly see it now, the feeling of always putting on something or of putting on religion or, or forcing something into a square hole that didn't quite fit or veneer, you know, polishing the veneer. And it was always effort and reshaping, revolting. Then suddenly when I came here, it's like, I'm not going to try that anymore.
But hear me, it's always that, it's always, I mean, I used to preach and teach at these prayer breakfasts. People were dumb enough to invite me to come and meet with them. I was on the touring committee for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for a year until they figured out what I was saying.
Hence the expression, dumb jock.
I mean, you understand?
Like the full gospel, too.
Oh, the full gospel. People love me.
Why isn't there a part gospel?
I mean, you understand? I mean, all of a sudden you're confronted with this stuff. My God in heaven, I am still doing the same thing. I am still trying to fill an empty bucket. God doesn't care whether you're trying to fill it with Jesus or with cocaine or with the whores on Cedar Springs. You've still made the cross of Christ a non-thing.
Well, you said it blows me away. It's like people believe God needs their help, or you know, God needs my help to read X number of hours a day or pray. He didn't need that.
It's just like I never knew. I never knew it was the same thing, though. It was like there was still such an emptiness, and you know, there was that, just like Burnett was talking about, that, you know, getting up at 5:30 in the morning, like quiet time, you know, so like 30 minutes.
Well, I mean, do you understand how ludicrous that kind of thinking is to one who knows the resurrection?
Yeah.
I mean, the people that you're talking to, they're spiritual pygmies. They're blithering idiots. You're a giant in comparison to them. And it makes me cry to think that they would make you feel less than they were. You don't have anything to be ashamed. I mean, you know more in your little finger than they'll know in a lifetime.
They should be ashamed.
They will be.
Yeah, they will be. Yeah. Hear me what God says. Right now, He'll say, touch not mine anointed and do my holy prophets no harm. It would be better for them never to have lived if they cause you any embarrassment.
Amen.
You know,
I was thinking about this today. I started down there getting twisted about something about me that I wanted to change, and I thought about what had happened to me, that all the things that had happened that had changed, I had nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like even, it's not even coming here, it's just, I found myself in a place where, I mean, it's like I saw my whole life here anyway in a flash, this thing has been happening to me, and I've changed, and I've had nothing to do with it. It's like, in a way, I haven't even seen it except for flashes of moments. I can see the making of the whatever it is. And, you know, I mean, that to me says more about religion, that the religious mind says, I've got to make this thing, and we say, we take our hands off, God is doing it completely, entirely.
Yeah, we have the thing that Harry said about us in Tilton, that there is no peace between these two camps, or worshiping two different gods. Why? Guess what, folks? Anybody that says there's the slightest thing that's needed is my enemy.
Yeah.
Anybody that says and hints by the slightest inference the cross of Christ hasn't fulfilled every possible need of God and man, is a blithering idiot and lying from the depths of hell.
Mm-hmm. Lying.
It's finished. The Son of God was crucified. And on that cross, He said, it's finished. These aren't my words. These people that say they believe in this book, they don't believe in it. They're just using it as an instrument to feed their own importance. What must we do to do the work of God? Believe on him who he sent. That's it. Jesus said in here, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life, but they are that testify only of me, and you won't come unto me. Why? As long as they think they can still add on, it's an add-on, then they can still continue and keep their self-divinity. They can accept Jesus as their personal Savior. He's not their Savior, he's their adjutant, he's helping them in their own divinity.
It's like an ally.
I mean, the world doesn't realize what's about to happen. Go by Isaiah 28.
We'd be there.
Throughout the scriptures, the wine of Ephraim, and Ephraim is always a symbolism or a metaphor for self-realization. Ephraim, who had all the potential to be one of the tribes, was discarded in the ten and as a it's a it's a So Ephraim and Israel were the same. They're thrown away as the 10 northern tribes. Why? Because of self-seeking. Because of self-interest. The bull. They set up the gold, the calf, in the sanctuary. Well, you know why? You know what that means?
Yeah.
For those of you who've been here a while, you know what it means. The calf or the bull was the god of this world at that time. The god of the world was defined as whatever animal, whatever one of the 12 signs of the zodiac appeared first on the morning of the spring equinox. They then were in the age of Taurus. And the first thing that came up was the bull. And they put then, as the age of self-seeking, I mean, it's the chief god of the age. They put the chief god of the age in their sanctuary.
In gold. Because of what he can do.
The chief god of the age, of this age is, you know, you. You put you in the sanctuary.
Personal.
My personal god. So anyway, woe to the crown of pride to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower. And as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. It's only a small residue. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for a strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine. Through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Why? Because of the wine of self-seeking. Everything is seen and spoken through the filter of self-seeking. They will speak well of you when you doeth well unto yourself. For all tables. What's a table? A table is a place that you eat. Wherever you eat, all tables are full of vomit. Why? Because the only thing that's eaten is something that has already it served its purpose. It should have passed through, but yet it's thrown up. You know the things that you've gotten sustenance from in the past no longer have any value to you? Now don't eat the vomit anymore. Don't play in the crap. Don't eat the vomit.
It should be a phylactery.
What?
It should be a phylactery.
Don't eat the vomit.
That's another thing that's happened. Mike and I, you know, Mike said the same thing. He says, I don't want to go back over. That's milk toast. So I can't stand the taste of it anymore.
All tables are full of vomit and filthiness so that there is no place clean. That's what you feel like. Mm-hmm. My God in heaven, I remember when I... The only thing that happened to me is God gave me this thing that instantly I sensed it. And I couldn't. I tried. I tried to be religious.
Oh, man. I can't even. Oh, that's
a mind
reel.
That would be horrible. A religious only.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I tried.
Holy, holy.
Yeah, I like it.
Ooh.
Holy.
Oh, shut up.
So, you're talking about people puking on the tables.
I'm not talking about it. The Holy Word is talking about it.
It's the Holy Bible.
All tables are full of vomit, especially those recently.
What?
All the shit there. That's going on here.
Oh.
Vomit.
Filthiness.
Yeah, vomit.
Vomit, filthiness.
Super fruity.
There's no place clean. No place clean.
Yeah.
Whom shall he teach knowledge?
Who brought that woman here?
Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. As we said before, that's the way you've learned since a child. Everything you've done, it's line upon line. You've tried, you've moved here, you've done this, you've done that. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, over and over, over and over, because you as a human organism have from the beginning, from that expulsion from the garden, have been trying to get it right so you could get back in. Get back joined to life. Precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Because you believe that if you could get it right, that you could get back to the place of union and joy. So you've done everything, if I could just get it right. If I could just get this being a kid stuff right, then I wouldn't. If I could just get this being a... you know, but everything, something always happens, right? You start out, and you start to get it right, and then you graduate, right?
Right.
And so you start all over as a freshman. And then you start to get it right again, and you graduate, and then you never get a chance to get it right.
Then you're a lieutenant.
Then you get to be a lieutenant, right? The lowest form of life on the face of the earth, the second lieutenant.
No, then you become a Levite.
2 whole years.
But the point is, you never get it right. And you still, and you think, well, then now I'm going to become a wife and I'll get it right. Or now I'm going to become this. Now I'm going to do this. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Now I'm going to do the Bible. The Bible is what I'm going to do right. Now I'm going to get prayer right. Line upon line. I'm going to learn the Bible. I'm going to learn how to pray. God, teach me to pray. Oh, if I could only know how to pray. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Why does it say that in the middle? Because the idea is you cannot find out what the... You will not understand. You don't understand what's happening. It's with as if there were another tongue being spoken. Mm-hmm. You're trying to understand it in English. And so you go and study and read and... And you can convince yourself of anything.
Yeah, you come up with all kinds of horseshit
interpretations. Really?
You know how often you can convince. I mean, you go this. Here's what Harry's theology was.
I could do it too. I
could do it. God, I need a decision. Okay.
The problem was I could do it with a dictionary too. It worked just as good.
Yeah. Sorcery.
It's true.
With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Yet they would not hear. He said this before every one of those idiots in Babylon has heard. Stop the cause and effect. Stop the reward and punishment. Stop this constant striving. This is the rest. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. How many times? How many thousands of obstacles did God put in Burnett's path before he began to hear? How many millions of obstacles did he put in Ed's path before he began to hear? But there's 1,000,000,000 obstacles, but you determinedly forge on ahead, thinking it's righteous. How can it be righteous? Hear me. God said to the Holy Spirit, here's what God said. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter, and when he is come, I'm going to send you this other thing, this other being, this other entity, and when he is come, he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Hear me, it's not of sin because you didn't behave right, or of sin you did this or this. Of sin because you believed not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father. And of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. In other words, that defines the boundaries. You can have righteousness and be right if you can go to the Father. I mean, not just say you're going, you know what I mean? If you can... Go, right now. You can have the right to judge if you can find something worse than the prince of the world being judged. And if you can find anything, if you can find any sin that hasn't been covered by belief in him, then you can convict somebody of sin. You understand? You did not come into the kingdom of God in a state in which we've been studying in bananas. I mean, not in bananas. I got too many things teaching here. No, not in stealth either. In Levites.
They're really good Bible studies.
Huh?
Breakfast.
What?
The advanced Bible
it is.
Breakfast.
It's a Bible study.
It's getting yelled at.
I'm a Paul.
It's fun. We like it. See, you just made a reference there that it was a Levite Bible study.
No, it's not.
No, I know it's not, but I'm saying.
I shouldn't say that. I know.
Well,
it's not, it's, I shouldn't, forgive me. It's an anybody Bible study, but it's just taught in the morning. The idea of what did Jesus Christ do from the time of his birth until he was 30 years old. We've studied this in the past here a long time ago, but the only reference is it says, okay, the kid got born, and they brought him some stuff they usually bring to dead guys. And then when he was 12 years old, he ran away from his parents. And then... At 30 years old, what happened?
He got baptized.
At 30 years old, he got baptized. So from 0 until 30, there's nothing known about him. The silent years of Jesus Christ. What happened in the silent years is he lost his point of view. He lost his agenda so that he could abandon himself to the moment, to the faith of the Father. Every one of you have brought preconceived opinions and ideas and agendas into the kingdom. So for a time in type, God is destroying those agendas so that you can be in a position where you give no thought for tomorrow, give no thought for the next minute. So that, and again, do you hear me? If you believe that there is something left to do, then you cannot give no thought for tomorrow. You understand me? If you believe, if your belief system says that something else is needed, then to give no thought for tomorrow is impossible.
I never thought about it, but I always thought of Christ as being like Superman. Remember watching those Superman movies where the deal crashes and he climbs out and he's a little baby and he goes and picks up a truck?
Yeah.
And he was always perfect. He was always strong.
Yeah.
Christ was just always perfect and always strong. And he grew up. That's why there wasn't anything in there about him, because he's like Superman. He just could always pick up a truck since he was little.
Christ screamed and yelled and he crapped in his pants and he wet his diaper.
And he was mean to his
parents. He beat up all kids.
Says na 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 instead of God, na na na. That's what Bob says.
Sure. And he was weak.
There was the same thing, that came to my mom.
Look at all my stuff, my gold, my frankincense, and myrrh.
He did.
I'm a miracle.
Oh my God.
So bite me.
I'm special.
The point is that nothing that he did
darn it.
Was imputed as sin until he was a child of the law.
That's blasphemy.
Now, if that wasn't true, then you and I wouldn't have had a chance. You understand? Because if we are in the... If the scriptures say, as he is in the world, so are we. If we weren't in the position now of him before he became a child of the law, as his life is becoming manifest in us, we'd be in deep trouble.
Bells are going off inside my head about this thing in Isaiah about thousands of years ago. He said, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. So that means every moment from 3,000 years ago till now, for every being, for every circumstance, that's what this is. This thing, this is it. It's hurting the inside of my head.
Turning me to watch.
This is the refreshing.
The only way that can be true is if it's all whatever it is.
But see, Paul said it, went through the same thing when he said, whatsoever things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What we must see is this incredible statement. And it's repeated over and over, and we can go there in each of these places if you want. But it says, now you are complete in him. Right now.
Yes.
He said, by one offering he hath in the past perfected forever them that are sanctified. That means as of now, as of this moment in time, you are perfect. If you're sanctified. How are you sanctified? I give myself to you, Father. I just want you to be able to cast down with authority the lie that says that you need something else. And everybody's, for some reason, everybody's come and asked me for a theme for Pentecost. I just thought of it.
I thought you already gave us one.
No more mud.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. Okay. Well, let's go back a little bit. In verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove or to test the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago. Proper means to do the right thing in spiritual terms. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. And in other words, the idea of to be forward, it means in whatever it is you're talking about, whether it's how to be a good Christian guy, or how to be a husband, or how to be a wife, or how to be a child, or how to be whatever it is that you would perform it. Okay, that's what being forward is. This is a bad translation, trust me on this one. But here's where we went. In verse 12, for if there first be a willing mind. Now what is to us a willing mind? Think about it. Open mind. If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not.
This is where you get your responsible for what you have and not what you got. You.
If there be a willing mind, you're accepted according to a man what you have and not what you don't have. Now, this is a great mind-blowing sense of peace, if you can hear this. Yeah. It means, I don't care if you're talking about this book, about Bible study. I don't care if you're talking about money. I don't care if you're talking about talents or beauty or any possible thing in the universe. If there's a willing mind, you're accepted on the basis of what you have, not on the basis of what you don't have. That's wild. That's a form of thought that is not available elsewhere. There's nothing left to do. You're accepted exactly at what you have in whatever thing it is. Now, I don't know about you, but I tried a whole lot of years to live up. I tried to live up to my parents, my family standards. Try to live up to my family, like the bigger family. Then I try to live up to my parents' standards. Try to live up to my teacher's standards. Try to live up to scientific standards. I try to live up to my standards, to society standards, and I try to live up to religious standards. Now, I've said this before, I can't meet any of those standards. That's why we exist. If I didn't know that I was accepted based on what we have, not on what we don't have, we'd be in deep trouble. Amen. Anybody have anything else? Let's take a big guy.